Good morning, Wisconsin.
Morning, world.
It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J., behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning. Good morning.
We hope you're having a good Tuesday out there, everybody. Got some good stuff coming up, some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all lined up, all on the way. We're going to get into a little bit of entertainment news in a moment, but wanted to touch on our schedule real quick. And coming up, when Melissa and I are done hanging out together, we're going to kick off Morning Magazine for the week. And our first guest of 2023, Dawn DeCarcy. Dawn is, of course, with the City of Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Rec Department, longtime guest of ours.
Oh, good.
I love talking with Dawn. There's a lot of upcoming programs and new classes going on with our Parks and Rec Department. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun talking with her. And in part two, Aaron Hess, Carly Renmeister, and Vicki Jefferson will be joining us from the Southwood County YMCA. Big thank you to them.
They'll have some good information.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, we got a sports schedule to get to a little bit later today on our sister station, WIRI, Wis Country, at 5 o'clock. Tip-off, Marquette men's basketball taking on St. John's. Big East matchup right there. And right here at WFHR at 7 o'clock, tip-off for Wisconsin men's basketball as they take on Minnesota. A Big Ten matchup right there. It's a ball night.
All right.
I just flip through between the stations. Just flip right between the two of them right there.
Back and forth.
Yeah. And keep in mind, you can do that with the Civic Media app. Our app is free. It is easy to download. Wherever you get your apps, go there, download it. It's not only a great way to keep up with us, you'll never lose us that way. Our constant stream is always there for you.
Wherever you are in the state.
Spotify, Apple, Google, you can go to any of those and get us. Also, podcasted. All of our shows are podcasted. Everything original we do here at Civic Media is podcasted. It is a great new day around here. I can't tell you how many listeners and relatives and people I've had tell me how much they love that part of our what Civic has been able to bring to our station.
Yes. Accessible anywhere.
It's very cool. Real quick, do you want to take a look at our guests through the week here? Tomorrow on the morning show, Melissa and Seth will be here. We'll have the James gang together. That'll be fun. Woo-hoo. And on Morning Magazine, we spend the entire hour with Wood County Sheriff's Department. I believe Sheriff Becker will be in for that.
Oh, awesome.
Always a good conversation there. Mm-hmm. Thursday, Seth and I will be hanging out, and on Morning Magazine, we'll have Nick Goldberg and Melinda Verdone in from Mid-State Technical College, and we'll talk to our friends at UW Extension. And nice. Then on Friday, we get the band back together. Terry Johns will be here. We'll have some fun and get you ready for your weekend. And in Morning Magazine, we will welcome in part one, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Always a good time to talk with Scott, catch up with him, and make him uncomfortable. No, we always have a good conversation.
He should have some good information to share. He just won re-election, and what his plans are moving forward with this next season.
A preview of some of the things we will talk about. Thank you, Melissa. That was good. That was really good. Nicely done. That was great. So now getting to a little bit of other entertainment news. And I have in front of me the new most streamed song on Spotify.
Really? Is it a Billie Eilish song?
Good guess. I think that's a good guess. At least I think it is. Since September of 2017, the most streamed song on Spotify has been Ed Sheeran's Shape of You.
Ah, Ed Sheeran.
But that changed on New Year's Eve when it was overtaken by Blinded Lights by The Weeknd.
Oh, really?
Both songs have more than 3.33 billion streams.
Wow.
But according to the most recent data, Blinded Lights has about 1.2 million more streams as of yesterday. Interesting.
That's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. 1.2 million.
I will say that Blinded Lights song, I haven't really gotten sick of it. To be fair, I don't listen to pop radio, so I don't know how many times they're playing in an hour when it was big. It's been a couple of years since it's been out. But yeah, I don't know. It's not one of those songs I ever really got sick of.
I don't know if I've heard it. I'll have to check it out.
It's usually when I see these lists, it always involves a song that I don't want to even think of, let alone hear. But that one, I'm not as tired of that one.
Okay. Well, apparently nobody else is either.
Yeah, right. The top five is rounded out by Dance Monkey by Tones and I. Someone You Loved from Luis Capilardi.
Okay.
and Rockstar by Post Malone featuring 21 Savage. Most streamed songs. Interesting. Let's see here. Oh, this is one I wanted to make sure that we got made time for. Foo Fighters will continue to make music after the passing of drummer Taylor Hawkins. But they'll be, quote, different band going forward. In a statement, they said, quote, as we say goodbye to the most difficult and tragic year that our band has ever known, we are reminded of how thankful we are for the people that we love and cherish most. And for the loved ones who are no longer with us. Without Taylor, we never would have become the band that we were. We know that when we see you again, we will see, and we will see you soon. He'll be there in spirit with all of us every night. There is, I think that, and this is one of those things that, you know, I feel a little uncomfortable talking about because I feel like it's the band's business. It's their business. But I think that one of the things that has to be being discussed. I don't know. I'm speculating here, completely 100% speculating. But one of the greatest drummers of our generation, Melissa, is in that band, Dave Grohl. And I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a lot of guitar and obviously is the band's lead singer. I would not be shocked if the last we see of the Foo Fighters, because I don't think the band is going to be around that much longer. I think you lose, there's not, it's not like there's a ton of members of the band to begin with, and then you lose one of the most integral pieces of it. You're probably not going to see a lot of new music, probably not going to see them tour a whole lot more going forward. Why not go put him on drum? There's literally nobody better, at least that I know of in the world, to take over the drums of that band than their lead singer, the guy who was one of the former drummer of Nirvana and one of the, and Queens of the Stone Age and so many other great bands.
Well, the only pushback I would give to that is that a lot of people, especially people who aren't musicians, identify a band by their lead singer, by the sound of that voice. And if their band doesn't have that vocal sound anymore, you know, are they going to continue to keep up their fan base?
Oh, I think he'd still be the singer. I think just doing both.
Singing and drumming is hard.
He's done it his whole career. Yeah, he did it with Nirvana. He did, Phil Collins did it. There's only a handful, and you're extremely right there, Melissa. I'm saying it way too casually. way too casually. And I'm saying it like I actually know what I'm talking about, too, because I've never drummed in my life. I've watched Animal from The Muppets, and that's about it.
he was pretty good, though. I mean, let's be fair.
To be fair, it was pretty darn good. But I do think that that's got to at least be I don't know. I would think that that has to be discussed. And whatever they do, I think it's really cool the way that they're handling it, that they're sharing all this stuff with the, you know, the audience, with their fans.
Yeah, with their fans and being open about the fact that it's going to be different, because how could it not be?
Yeah. Did you happen to see any New Year's Eve celebrations, any of the coverage? I couldn't tell you the last time I watched any of those New Year's Eve parties or anything like that, but did you see any of them?
You know, I probably did. Don't remember too much of it.
I have to
be fair.
Yeah. When I was a kid, Dick Clark, you know, you watched a little of that and everything to see the ball drop. And it was Dick Clark, you know, he was a legend. But I haven't really watched many of the ones that have come up recently. I did not know about this one that I'm about to talk about. If I had known about it, I may have caught a little of it. In case you missed it, Dolly Parton and her goddaughter, Miley Cyrus, performed together on New Year's Eve. There's a video making the rounds of them mashed, doing a mashup of Wrecking Ball and I Will Always Love You. It was on Miley's New Year Eve party special that aired on NBC.
That's cool.
And apparently it is making the rounds. Like a lot of people are blown away by it and really enjoying it. They sound really good together. Dolly is a gigantic fan of Miley, and obviously Miley is a huge fan of Dolly. So apparently they've got some really nice chemistry too. Miley Cyrus, who I don't know that well, and I certainly don't know her music very well at all. I gotta say, you have to have some appreciation, some admiration for that young lady and what she, how her career has gone this way and that way, and where it started and where she is now. And there was a point there where people were talking about her and worrying about her mental health and is she going to, you know, what's going to happen to mom, you know, all these things. And now she's hosting a New Year's Eve party. She's hanging out with Dolly. She's still her. She's still Miley. But she has, I don't want to say she's settled down, but I feel like she has like kind of evened out a little bit. Like she's got some more balance.
Yeah, but there's so much pressure that is put on those young, because she was a Nickelodeon star,
mm-hmm.
and there is so much pressure put on them at such a young age to be perfect, to do everything right, to hit A every time. And I love the fact that Dolly sang Wrecking Ball with her, because Miley got so much flack over that song and that video that she did, that I think it's great, personally.
You mentioned earlier about listening to new music as part of a New Year's resolution, and I love that idea. I can't say that I'm about to go listen to a bunch of Miley Cyrus. I'm not going to lie to the audience like that or anything. But I am trying to be better about giving people or learning more about people that maybe I don't know as much about. I did this when I was in high school with Bob Dylan. My dad, my mom didn't listen to a whole lot of Dylan, and all I knew was me. That's all I knew about Bob Dylan was he sang like this. And, I researched and looked into his life, his career, and while I'm not a huge, I respect him as a musician. I don't have any of his music on my playlist, but I'm really glad I learned about who he was. And learned more about him. I think it gives us a little more empathy in today's society. It gives us a little more opportunity to be empathetic. I'm not about to go and, you know, like Miley Cyrus's Instagram page or follow or any of these things. But I can have some respect for a young human being who has done something that not a lot of people do, because her story usually ends with being a C star that we hear about every couple of years when something tragic happens.
Mm-hmm. Or shaving their hair off and going down some kind of a rabbit hole. I mean,
if we didn't learn from the Britney Spears situation, what are we doing here? We have to learn how, and I'm not saying that, we can't take our punches and we can't make our Saturday Night Live bits and jokes and all that thing. That's society. That's life.
It's part of entertainment.
You sign up for that the moment you agree to be in the public eye, whether it's fair or not. That's a whole other conversation, but it is the fact of the matter. But I do think that we can be a little bit better about, like, wow. What she has done is pretty impressive. What Taylor Swift is redoing her work and everything. I think that's really impressive.
Yeah.
And heck, if Dolly Parton likes her, who am I to say anything?
Well, and if anything else, this is going to get you to listen to a couple of her songs, because you're going to listen to pretty much anything Dolly does, I'm going to guess.
I pretty much am, yes. I will follow that woman to the sun if she asks me to. And rightfully so, a lot of people would follow me too. A lot of people, I'm not alone on that
You're
one.
Not alone.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, and what we've got is an interesting one. Words that need to be banished.
Oh.
We're just having fun, everybody. It's just a silly list.
Okay.
But words that we're tired of, basically, in pop culture.
Okay.
Like that pop song.
I'm for this.
Yeah, that pop song you're tired of hearing, or whatever one that is.
Was that one by Wham?
Yeah, it may be. Maybe that one, yeah. Take a break. Come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here at 9:20 on the clock. And we got an interesting list here. Lake Superior State University in Michigan released its annual list of words and phrases that need to be banished in the new year.
Okay.
This is kind of a fun list, really. I don't know how seriously anybody really takes it or anything like that. But words, again, very similar to pop songs that you're tired of or whatever. Maybe it's the word or a phrase or a slang word that you're tired of, that kind of thing. Certainly, one of many people's New Year's resolutions is to improve their vocabulary. So maybe a real hard set, plug in and plug out your vocabulary and plug it back in. Maybe you'll reset some of these words. Mm-hmm. Number one on the list, the number one word, goat. I don't know. Greatest of
that
all
time. It hasn't been around that long.
No, it hasn't. And greatest of all time is certainly the acronym of what it means. It does, I will be the first to admit, it is way overused nowadays.
I was going to say that. It's overused.
Yeah, incredibly overused.
Because greatest of all time, there's not a lot of people that you can say that about.
Right.
But they're kind of overusing it.
Yes. Almost every day on the Mouse Network or whatever Fox does with sports or whatever, any of those things, they're mentioning the term goat or having a discussion about the goat or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my real pushback on that. If somebody is truly the goat, how could you have a discussion? Like, they would be the unanimous. Yeah. It's an opinion based thing. So you can never have a true goat. I can say all day that Michael Jordan was the goat in basketball, and somebody else can
somebody
say
else is, going to contradict you.
Right. Well, Bill Russell won more titles, and you know, and then another person could say this, and another, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Number two, inflection point.
Inflection point.
Inflection point is the number two word on
this
list.
I've heard it now and then.
A point of a curve at which a change in the direction or of a curvation occurs. In business, it means a time of significant change in a situation or a turning point. Probably a lot of people tired of hearing the business part of that.
Well, I think what is, I think it's being misused is part of the problem. Because you can say, you know, we're at an inflection point with the weather today. It's either going to get icy or it's going to snow.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the proper use of the term? Well, no, not really.
Right.
I mean, is it a turning point? Sure. But is it how it's meant to be used? I don't think so.
And keep that in mind, everybody, because I think that's going to be a theme going forward with a lot of these words. The number three word was quiet quitting. A lot of people tired of that term, and a lot of people tired of that period. I mean, it seems they should. Couldn't they just call that childish quitting? I mean, part of being an adult is, you know, owning these things and facing these things. And if you don't want to do a job, just quit the job. Don't give that, you know, don't drag your feet and try to give the employer a reason to fire you or any of this. I find that to be one of the sillier things in business. Move on and you know, get a new gig or do go to a new gig. You're only hurting your fellow employees. You're only... Gaslighting is number four in this list, interesting for a number of reasons, even though it was just named Merriam-Webster's Word of the Year for 2022. If you're tired of that word, too bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I don't want that word going anywhere. I would like the reason for the word to go away, sure.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't... This manipulating somebody to make them think that... to make them question their own reality has been used for as long as there's been people, probably. But it's not okay. And more people need to know what gaslighting is and how people use it against them.
The simple fact that we have to kind of describe still what gaslighting is tells me that this belongs on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually kind of encouraged that it's on this list of words that should be banished, because that means people are tired of hearing a word, and maybe that means that people will get tired of gaslighting in general and actually do something about it.
Well, and I mean, maybe they're thinking that it's being overused, and in some ways I could say that the term itself is being overused without the explanation for what it is and why it's happening. I mean, because if you just tell, but don't get gaslit, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
But don't let him manipulate you, or don't let her manipulate you, is a much more direct way of trying to help somebody.
At some point, advertisers started running our news, basically, because they want to get as many of these stories in as they can, and they cut the segments down. Oh, we don't need this word. Oh, we don't need to explain this. We got to get more and more stuff in so we can get to our commercial break so we can pay our advertisers. And they got away from the idea of what journalists used to do when they were having a discussion about gaslighting. They would tell you what gaslighting was. They would do these kind of things. They would take the extra step. They cut out the extra step on so many broadcasts nowadays. That it's not surprising that a lot of people will be tired of a word and also not know what the word means.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a very important word to understand and to know what it means. And just as importantly, to understand what that can do, what that word can mean, all the things that come from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's some phrases I think people are afraid of, similar to goat. Like,
okay.
Moving forward, I would like to... Number five on the list, moving forward. I could see that phrase getting... I could see... If somebody overuses it, definitely, yeah, I could see that.
Yes, yeah. Like, if you say that phrase more than twice a week, you're probably overusing it.
Moving forward, no.
It's a way of kind of dismissing what happened before, and yes, moving
it's passive forward, aggressive.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it, James, because it dismisses whatever else happened. Hmm. And if you're using it not against, but in a conversation with someone, you're not acknowledging necessarily their feelings or their, or what past events.
Mm-hmm. I can see two on this list that I'm a little guilty of probably overusing. One of them is number six, amazing. I do like that word. I do like the word
amazing. What's wrong with that word?
I don't know, but I do like the word amazing.
And I like the word amazing.
I don't care if I, unless they they're going to fine me for using it, I'm going to keep using it, everybody. I don't care. I like the word.
I mean, what are we going to replace it with? Astounding?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Astonishing?
I'm just going to get tired
Staggering.
Of that one. Yeah. Well, I used to get told that I said awesome too much, so I started saying amazing, and now they're saying that I'm seeing a list like this. I can't.
Replace it with bizarre.
Ah, there you go. Actually, that's a fun word. I like bizarre. Number seven, does that make sense to change it with bizarre? Does that make sense? That's number seven on the list. Does that make sense?
That's another potentially passive-aggressive phrase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I didn't think about it like that, but yeah.
Because you can, you know, somebody says something and you respond with, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are questioning the reality of what they're saying. I don't know.
Well, you would think that I would be familiar with that one. You would think a lot of people would have said to me after I get done talking, does that really make sense? Number eight on the list, irregardless. Irregardless.
So there has been a lot of controversy over the years, as long as I can remember, that is it irregardless or just regardless?
It's a great debate.
Which one is correct?
Yeah, it's a great debate.
Because adding ear to regardless seems to make it redundant.
Mm.
Like it's kind of a double negative.
It's very true, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number nine on the list. The word I only say on the air, I don't think I've ever actually said this word outside of being on the air. But for some reason, when you get people on the air, and it's not just me, Melissa, Seth, I've heard so many other people do this. Absolutely. I never say that word. But when we're
really?
On the air and I'm responding to something one of you guys say or something like that, oh, absolutely, Melissa. Oh, absolutely, Seth. I actually, so when we were training Seth to do Over the Back Fence, him and I came across this and realized that we were doing this just kind of organically. And so secretly, I started like checking every time one of us would say absolutely. Last I checked, it was over 20 or 25. It was funny. It was actually, you know, and that was like within a couple weeks that we had said that word that much. And I never say absolutely outside of off the air. I don't know why it is. I have yet to have anybody tell me why this happens. But I've talked to old school radio personalities. They say the same thing. It's just one of those words.
That's funny. I actually do use this word in real life.
Yeah, I've heard you. Yeah, yeah.
Because there are things that I you know, you ask me a question and the answer is absolutely. I got your back.
It works.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I also, in place of this, I use for sure quite a bit in real life. I don't think I actually say it on the radio, but.
That's a good one. That's a one I haven't heard in a while, though, too.
Yeah.
So number 10 on this list, I think, is probably the most controversial, or arguably outside of the gaslighting and things like that. It's probably the most controversial in my head as far as 50-50 of the vote. 50% of people I know use it and are okay with it, and another 50% want it never to be said in the lexicon again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Oh.
Yeah. No, a lot of people, and I'm guilty of that one. I use it from time to time. It tends to usually be when I've exhausted the conversation. I have no more literal words in my head, and I have no other way to describe the situation that what happened or where going forward. You know what? It is what it is, man. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that one has a use in certain situations. Mm-hmm. Yes. But it is overused.
And I think I overuse it probably. I probably overuse it just because, looking at this list, a lot of other people are already using it so much. So, you know, I'm adding to that. So
it's a better way of saying just accept it and move on. It's slightly more polite than that.
It also seems like a better way of saying blank happens, you know? I mean, isn't that pretty much what we're saying there?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
pretty
just,
much.
Just for, you know, smaller ears, you know, younger minds and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can revisit the previous banished words online. Just go to lssu.edu, lssu.edu. The 2022 words included circle back, deep dive, new normal, supply chain.
Yeah.
There's some good ones.
Supply chain is an important concept that, you know, if you're not in the world of business, a lot of people don't fully understand.
Yeah.
I didn't fully understand it until I was taking business classes here recently. It's an interesting concept you really dig into it.
Mm, agreed. And I do think some of these, too, are, you know, are they being overused in your little, you know, in your circle of friends or at work or where you're at or anything?
And are they being overused because they're not being fully explained, like we've talked about with gaslighting?
Yes.
And yes, things like supply chain.
So. Mm-hmm. We have got to take a break. We get to Melissa's news. When we come back, got a couple of That Ain't Right stories and some more fun for you lined up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hopefully you're having a great Tuesday out there, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Show. Melissa and James here with you. My decade in classic rock has really helped me with the ramping. Like, I'm noticing, like, I can't, I'm not doing it intentionally, everybody. I can't help myself. It's just old radio in my veins. I cannot stop myself from doing. I got an interesting That Ain't Right story here, Melissa. Did you see the movie Office Space?
Yes.
Okay. That is going to make this a lot easier. For anybody who has not seen the movie out there, kind of a cult classic comedy from the late 90s. I want to say mid 90s, somewhere around there, came out.
99.
Yeah, it still holds up. I saw it the last couple of years. It still holds up. It's still just as funny as the first time I saw it. It's a good one. Well, if you remember the movie Office Space, where the characters attempt to create a virus that will steal fractions of pennies from an accounting system, hoping that it will add up to a large run. That's the scheme, basically, in the movie.
Right.
They think nobody's going to notice a couple of pennies off of the account and all this, and then, you know, of course, anarchy happens. I don't want to ruin the movie for anybody that might have seen it, even though it was like 20 years ago. I just hate spoiling things for people, so.
Right.
Well, the scheme got botched in the movie, and yet a criminal thought it would be a great inspiration for a real-life theft.
To actually try it?
Yep, yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Boop, yep. Criminal mastermind here, this 28-year-old software engineer in Seattle, was arrested after being caught skimming money from his employer, Zuli.com.
Dude.
He manipulated the code so the checkout page would send shipping fees to his personal account.
Shipping fees?
Yeah.
That's not pennies,
no,
man.
No. That, I mean, boy. Boy, did you get this wrong, man. This isn't just like, I mean, that's lazy. He got around 260,000 before he was caught, plus about $41,000 in merchandise somehow. I don't know.
Okay.
That's about the same amount as 300,000 stolen in the movie.
I won't ruin the movie. Sorry.
The man told detectives the plan was inspired by Office Space. He actually told them that.
Maybe if I tell him I was, you know, inspired by a movie, I'll get off easier.
Carl had this great line that I'll never forget about, you know, we're doing one of these stories and he just looks at me and he's like, you know what, man, there should be a stupid enhancer. Like, just for some of these crimes, what you would normally get in like an extra year tacked on just for being dumb. Just for being, I almost feel like I feel Carl was right about that. But I also feel sometimes like, this person needs to be held accountable and everything. And at the same time, like, there also should be kind of like just a moment where you laugh. Like, just give it, like, have a laugh just before you're off to prison. Because that's hilarious. It's not only hilarious that he would do it, but that he would own it is just as funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
He even outlined the plan in a file on his laptop.
Oh.
It was labeled Office Space Project.
Oh, now I'm almost feeling sorry,
right?
For this person. Let's watch Ocean's 11, James, and try that. I mean, come on, if we're gonna go big, why not?
Right. One of the reasons I do actually love that remake, the first one, they tell you right away, like almost in the first minutes of the movie, the greatest bank robbery in Las Vegas history was like 5 feet out of the MGM. Like a guy that got 5 feet out of the MGM with the bags of money, and that was it. That's the biggest bank robbery in Las Vegas history. Like, that tells you right there, hey, this is not going to work. This is a movie. It only works in movies, and that's it.
Yep.
He's been charged with two counts of theft in the first degree and the court and the count of identity theft in the first degree. He is not going to be around for a long time.
Nope.
Not to mention, even when he is a free man, he will never be allowed in the coding world again, where he spent all of his money and education into. So,
yeah,
that ain't right.
Out of society for a bit and out of a career.
I'm just going to save some time for some people out there real quick here. There is no movie, and there never will be a movie, and never has been a movie, that will be made that you can look at and say, huh, I should try that. Never. It's a movie. It's imagination. It works in the movies, not so much in real life.
Yeah, no. That's why they do it in movies.
That's the point
not
of
in
movies.
Real life.
It's the point of movies. It's I've always thought, you know, it'd be really cool. I've grown up watching Westerns. I think it'd be really cool robbing a train on horseback. Robbing a train. I obviously am never going to do this, and it would be pretty pointless to do nowadays anyway.
Right. What are you going to rob off a train?
I do love the idea.
The dining car?
That'll be one of our That Ain't Right stories, though. or how I end up in our That Ain't Right stories. But I know in a movie it's cool.
Wait. I know where we're going to do this, James. Yeah. So you know that train car that sits in Stevens Point?
Yes.
Obviously, we'll set this all up beforehand with Mayor Wiese.
The Stevens Point, the police department, and everything.
Yep. And we'll have a horse statue. We'll set it beside the train car, and you're gonna ride that horse statue like nobody ever has. We're gonna film the whole thing. We'll have a fan blowing your hair back and everything. This is gonna be awesome. I got the whole script already written in my head.
Okay, yeah, I'm doing this. Yeah, I was gonna laugh it off and just go to break. Now I want to do it actually. Now I do.
And then you get on the train and rob the dining car.
I have to do, but I got to be in the full get-up.
I'm here for your cordon bleu.
Yeah. I have to be in the full getup, though.
I've
got to have the bandana, the cowboy hat. Yep. I got to have it all. Yep. I'm doing
all
this.
All of it.
It's the closest I'll ever get to it.
And a laser gun.
Yeah.
Because it's a futuristic Western.
Right on. I love it. I'm all in. You got your star. I'm all in on this.
And the horse is a unicorn.
But as ridiculous as that sounds, it's as ridiculous as it is to actually do something like this in real life.
Exactly. I mean,
It's a movie. Just enjoy the movie. Don't go trying to make future plans.
No.
If you're sitting there with your buddies and your buddy turns to you, you know, no.
We could pull this off.
No, stop. You stop it. You stop. You go. You
stop right there.
Put your face in the corner for a minute. You go put it in the corner. Go. It's a bad idea.
How much money did you put into your schooling? Use that. Make it worthwhile.
That's so bad. I mean, at least nobody stole the stapler. I mean, if somebody had stolen a stapler, that would have been a real problem. Steal my stapler. I'm burning a building now. And, of course, Melissa goes away when I'm doing the great impression. Ah, this, I'm telling you, clean feed. Come on. You got to act right, clean feed. Come on. We'll take a commercial break right there. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:49 on the clock. Going to take it right to the top of the hour. Well, we will kick off Morning Magazine for the day, and we will have in Dawn DeCarsey with us from the Parks and Recs Department here in Rapids. And our friends from the Southwood County YMCA will have joining us as well. Looking forward to that. Going to be a fun show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about the story of that happened over the holiday break of the gentleman who broke into a school to save 24 people doing the New York blizzard?
I saw something briefly about that, but I didn't get a chance to read it.
I kind of figured a lot of people felt had the same thing happen to them, Melissa, so I did want to take a second just to note that story. It is a remarkable story from the Christmas blizzard blanketing the northeastern United States, and it featured the kind of smash and grab we all need to hear about. The school's alarm went off at Edge Academy on Christmas Eve, but due to the worst snowstorm in a generation, the local police in Buffalo, New York, were unable to quickly respond. When the Chickawaga police did arrive, they found one of the windows had been broken out, but checked the school building, they found nothing out of place. They thought maybe the damage was caused from the hurricane force winds until they saw a handwritten note left on a table. The note started with an apology for causing damage to the window and having to borrow the snowblower to rescue others who had run out of gas while trapped in their cars. Quote, got stuck at 8 p.m. Friday and slept in my truck with two strangers, just trying not to die. There were seven elderly people also stuck and out of fuel. I had to do it to save everyone and get them shelter and food and a bathroom.
Yeah, because he couldn't fit them all in his truck.
Mm-hmm. The note was signed, Merry Christmas, Jay. When officers watched the video surveillance from the school, they were astonished. Quote, we witnessed people taking care of people, said a report that they said on their department's Facebook page. After breaking in, Jay went back out into the storm and found others who were freezing in their cars and brought them inside, 24 people in total and two dogs.
Wow.
In the school, he found granola bars, water, and blankets in the nurse's office and gathered apple juice and cereal from the kitchen. Kids played in the gym and adults watched football games and storm updates on television while the hours of on Saturday turned into a Christmas Day Sunday spent sheltered at the school. Quote, when they were finally able to leave safely, you never would have known anyone was there, the police said on their Facebook page. This group of amazing people cleaned up all the tables and the building. Everything was left literally exactly as it was. There was a freezer full of food, but no one touched it. They only ate what was necessary to stay alive.
Wow.
Soon, police wanted to identify the mysterious Jay so that they could commend him for his action for actions that 100% saved lives.
Yeah.
After they did find the 27-year-old, they announced on Facebook, because of Jay Withy, people are still alive.
That's a beautiful story.
Sandy Black was one of these people. She said, it was an ordeal, but thanks to Jay, we all had a place to stay warm. Jay even used the school's snowblower to dig out other stuck cars and help clear the streets for plows. I'm just grateful that I had the opportunity and I had the will to do it, Jay told people. I think that there's like the story, especially nowadays, you get so many people just reading headlines. And I think a lot of people found it noteworthy that this person did this, saved these lives. And he was not, you know, the authorities didn't, you know, give him a fine or anything like that.
Well, yeah, because he broke into a building that wasn't his. So, yes, that's not right. But what he did was amazing.
And I don't want to make light of the saving of lives and dogs and all these things. That's obviously, you know, A1 right there, biggest thing this man did. But it's not just him, but what all of these people, these 24 strangers did to not only help each other get through this time, but to treat that school with respect.
Yes.
To leave a note. To leave a note. Say,
thank you. Yeah.
I think that stuff needs to be brought up just as much, like 1B, 1A, 1B. Like the manners, the class involved in one of the most harrowing situations. We've heard enough people talk about this. There's a lot of people that didn't know if they were going to survive this. And I got to think that a lot of those people, that those 24 people, at least a couple, if not all of them, were also in the same boat. All of that going on, it's Christmas Day and you ain't with your family and all this.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're even going to see your family. And yet you leave a note. You treat this place with respect. Like how many times in how many scenarios do we hear of stories where people don't do that? You know, that's pretty remarkable to me, too. Again, not as important, but I think that that is a really cool part of the story.
Yes, it is absolutely. Because all of those people have him to thank for their lives, really. They were out of gas and freezing out there. It's a storm that we haven't seen in a long time.
We lost a lot of people during it, too. I have been trying to keep an update on, and there is no new news for the Buffalo Bills safety, Darwin Hamlin, who suffered a cardiac arrest in the game last night. There has been no new information about that, but we will be keeping it up to date on it as best we can. I did want to mention that, though, and certainly remind people that his GoFundMe page, his charity is out there. They're both really good. The GoFundMe page is about raising money for toys for kids. His charity is also a great one. And at last count, over $31 million it's raised. So, I mean, one way to handle to try to turn a positive into this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, probably a good story of the day for a lot of people out there. This week of games have been announced, and they have moved the Detroit Green Bay game to Sunday Night Football.
Okay.
So a lot of people are going to be very excited about that. That's a good story mm-hmm. of the day, certainly, too. And I wanted to get into this. A guy in Massachusetts stopped to get gas so his wife wouldn't have to in the next morning, bought a lottery ticket while he was there and won $1 million.
Nice.
Chivalry can be very cool. And that's a pretty good one right
there.
Pays to be chivalrous.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Other good stories going on want to get to, like this one right here. A couple in Pennsylvania just celebrated their 80th wedding anniversary. They're both 102.
Oh, wow.
That hits the heart. They met in high school in 1936 and fell in love on their very first date. They got married the day after Christmas in 1942. They say their secret is never going to bed angry.
Okay.
That is my mom and dad's same.
Yeah.
That's a
good one.
That is a very good one. That is a really good one.
It's important and it talks to communication. You got to have communication to have a solid, healthy relationship.
I counter that by never going to sleep. So it's a very good thing to do.
That's a method. It's not going to last very long, but okay.
Thousands of people got stranded at airports when Southwest Airlines dropped the ball over the holidays. One of them was a college kid who got stuck in Denver on Christmas Eve, but she did eventually make it home after her parents jumped in their car and drove 1,100 miles from California to pick her up.
Oh, wow. Well, that's awesome.
That's so cool. That is wonderful. And you are never, never going to hear the end of that.
Nope.
If you are that child, you will forever. Anytime that parent messes up or forgets something or anything like
that. Remember
that time. Yep. Never living that down.
I drove across the country for you.
Yep. I not only brought you into this world.
Yep. I brought you across this world.
Nice. And have you heard about this guy yet? 2 days before Christmas, a 24-year, and we just talked about this, Jay Whitley. He got stranded near Buffalo, helped save all those people. Just a beautiful story. Also, some McDonald's workers near Buffalo had to sleep in their restaurant overnight and helped around 50 people make it through the storm.
Yeah.
And they fed them and everything.
One part of this Jay Withy story that I hadn't heard before that I found here, he actually walked up to 10 different houses and offered them $500 to let him sleep on their floor, and they all turned him away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
And I didn't see that in this part of the article that I was reading. And I think that part is unfortunately noteworthy, too.
It is.
Because we have to cover the complete story. And it is really cool to see all the good that came out of this. Also should be noted that there was some selfishness out there. Or maybe just some self-preservation. I don't want to put that
perhaps,
on people.
Because you don't know with a stranger coming to your door.
Yeah.
But by them doing that, he then saved those 24 people. Because who knows what would have happened to them.
See, everything for a reason.
Yeah.
There are no coincidences. No. Really, really fun show, Melissa. This has been a blast. Thank you so much. It's been a real fun time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, James.
We are going to be back tomorrow. We'll drag Seth in here with us. So Melissa, yes. Seth, and James will be here for you tomorrow, keeping you up to date on weather, news, weird habits, strange things, anything Dolly Parton related, basically.
Pretty much.
All of that above. We'll be back with more, though. Mel, you have a great day.
You too.
We'll be back with more tomorrow. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on Well, you know what? I like the way you say it, Steph. You say it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.